How are we doing this morning? Well, my name is John Cox, and I get the privilege of speaking this morning. And I have been on staff twice now for the better part of, 14 years. So our family started coming in 2005 to Watermark, joined staff at the beginning of 2007 as the executive pastor. I did that for 10 years. Then went back into the marketplace for about 3.5 years from 2017 to the end of 2020, and now I'm back. So I'm back on staff at Watermark in that executive pastor role. So my job at Watermark is to kind of help make everything we do better. And so it's a broad job, but I love it. And so let me pray for us, and we'll go ahead and jump in and start this morning. Father, thank you so much just for your word. And the way that it teaches us and instructs us and guides us. And Father, it helps us not to get lost. And I pray this morning that as we open it up, that you would just speak wisdom to us. Father, we need all the wisdom we can get. And we pray that you would just guide our path, that you'd give us ears to hear you. And Father, that you would be about changing us from the inside out to make us more like you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, good morning. So this morning we are in the book, Old Testament book of Hosea, and we started that last week. And so you know that Hosea was a prophet that was writing at the very tail end of the northern kingdom. So if you remember, the nation of Israel, Moses led them into the promised land, and they lived in the promised land, and then later they got a king. The first king was Saul, and then David followed after him and Solomon after him. And at the end of the reign of Solomon, the kingdom split. And it split into a northern, which was 10 of the tribes, and that northern tribe was called Israel, and the southern kingdom, and that was Judah, and that was 2 tribes. And so Hosea is writing to the northern kingdom. He's writing to the 10 tribes in the north, and it's at the very end of a tumultuous time. So if we look at the background, you'd say Hosea lived in the tragic final days of the northern kingdom. And so he is writing in the period of time just before the northern kingdom disappears. And his message as a prophet, like all of the prophets, is calling, he is speaking on behalf of God to the people, and he is warning them and giving them advice. And in many ways, you think it's like fatherly advice that a dad gives a son. And as you know, if you are a son or you're a dad, sometimes you get that advice and you listen to it, but more often you don't. And you have to learn the hard way. And so Hosea is telling the people, you need to come back to God. And the people are running as far away from God as they can. And so there are 6 kings at the end of this reign in 25 years. Okay, 4 of them get murdered while they're the king. And they're replaced by the guy who kills them. You know, that's the successor. One of them is killed in battle. And so 5 of the 6 end their lives poorly. And the leadership is just bad. And one of the things that's interesting is you know, Watermark has for many years been involved in Central Africa, in kind of with Uganda and Congo and Rwanda and Burundi, and the nations right there. And so occasionally we have taken trips there. And so on the first trip that we took to Africa, we flew into Entebbe, which is in Uganda, and then we took a private plane into Eastern Congo. And a private plane was just, it's called Missionary Aviation Fellowship, right? And there was no air service into Eastern Congo. And the reason was, is there was a war going on. And the war was between the Congolese and then some tribes that were coming across from Rwanda. And what was happening was the Rwandan tribes would come across the border, they would fight, and then they would escape back across the border to Rwanda. And so it was called the Great African War. And in the middle of it, there were more than 1 million people that died. And so during this period, the war had just ended. The conflicts had all stopped. And the Congolese ambassador to the United States, okay, happened to be in Dallas. And so we had happened to get to know some of the government officials, and so she actually came and talked to a group of us at Watermark. And it was about this whole instability in the country. And at one point, there was a Q&A, and I just got the chance to ask her, hey, how can we help the nation of Congo? And she said, well, let me tell you, for us to begin to rebuild our country, we need stability. You need stability. You need peace. And so there's two ways that we really have got to focus on. Number one, we need to be able to protect our borders. So you've got to help us with our defense. And the U.S. can do that. And so if we can't protect our borders, then we can't stop the conflict. And if we can't stop the conflict, we can't create the peace we need to begin to rebuild the country. And then she said, second, the second problem is corruption. And the problem is the officials there are corrupt, and so there is very little trust in the government. And if the government has no trust, then the people are not going to listen to them, and they're not going to follow, and we cannot rebuild that part of the country. So she needs, we help with defense, and we need help with corruption. Okay, and if you look at the nation, the Northern Kingdom of Israel in this time, they've got both of those problems. Okay, there's instability. There's wars going on. There's people invading each other. They can't protect their borders, right? And people are constantly worried for their lives. And then if you read in these passages, the leaders are just absolutely corrupt. They are not leading well. They've got a history of looking out for themselves only. And it is a train wreck, okay? And that is the people that Hosea is writing to. And so they did not listen. And what ends up happening is the nation of Israel ends up going into exile. And what the passage I want to focus on this morning really comes out of the very first part of Hosea chapter 4. So today we're covering 4 to 8. This is Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. And we'll put it up on the screen. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There's only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds. The bloodshed and bloodshed follows bloodshed." Okay? And that summarizes what it was like to be in that kingdom. And if you look forward to the New Testament, you know, Jesus is asked at one point in Matthew chapter 22, what is the greatest commandment? Out of all of the 700 written laws kind of in the Old Testament, right? What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says famously, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Those are the two things you should focus on. Loving God and loving your neighbor. And if you look at this verse, chapter 4, verse 1, you see that they're not doing either one of those things. And so loving God, it says, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you, there is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God. And so one of the things that has gotten these people utterly and hopelessly lost is they have forgotten God. And they're trying to live their lives on their own strength. And in fact, even when they get into deep trouble, you know, people who follow God, they might neglect him if things are going well in their lives, but usually, right, if something really bad goes wrong, then they're like, oh God, please help me, okay? And Israel has gotten to the point where they don't even do that, right? They end up in desperate straits, and instead of looking to God for help, they go to nearby kings and say, hey, would you come help me? I've got a problem. And so God just says to them, listen, not only are you not following me, even in your time of distress, you are looking somewhere else to try and solve your problems. And so they are not loving God or listening to him or following him or embracing him. They're running as fast as they can in the other direction. Okay? Second, you know, the second part of that great commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. And here in verse 1, it says, there is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing and adultery, they break all bounds. And by any definition of loving your neighbor, right, there's loving your neighbor, and then maybe in the middle is ignoring your neighbor, and then on this end is I'm actually doing harm to my neighbor. That's where Israel is, right? They are actually going out of their way not to love their neighbors well. And they're just like, how can I exploit them? How can I get what I want out of it? And so we see a country that it's in its death throes. It's very poorly led. And Hosea is trying to write to them to say, you are lost. Come back. And if you come back, the Lord will restore you. And yet there's a people who cannot hear. They are so bent on going their own direction that they are running away from that message. And if you read about the last 100 years of that northern kingdom, God again and again and again sends people through prophets to call his people back, and they ignore him, and they are lost. And this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about what it means to be lost in our culture. And I want to start out just by talking about, some of the things here where you'd say, hey, what does lostness mean? It means this. You know, in the book of Hosea, the first 3 chapters are all about Hosea's marriage. That's what we talked about last week. And how his marriage to Hosea, who was unfaithful, right, was a representation of the people of Israel's unfaithfulness to God. So that's chapters 1 to 3. Chapters 4 to 14... where we're starting today, is really about Hosea's message, okay? And Hosea's message is one where he is saying, listen, you have turned away from God. You are not listening. And you think you can do this on your own. And he calls them to repent. And repent, as you know, is just a biblical word that just basically means you need to turn around and come back. You are going in the wrong direction. Okay, and if you keep that up, it is not going to end well. And then he's pointing out to them this fact that they're lost. And so, you know, one of the things that's being about being lost is sometimes you don't even know you're lost. And that can be the most dangerous. So every year in the United States, more than 2,000 people get so lost, right, that the government or some government has to send out people to try and find them. Okay, so in over 2,000 instances, this happens in our national parks. It happens, when people are trying to climb mountains and they get into distress. So over 2,000 times a year, okay, somebody puts up the SOS and says, I'm lost. You got to come help find me. And so, the rangers have written down, okay, why do people get lost? And some of the most common reasons are, number one, if there is a trail, they don't stay on it. Okay? So at some point, they think that they're smart enough that they know a shortcut. And so they don't have to stay on the path. And this is very much like the nation of Israel, right? God has given them instruction. He said, listen, if you want to live meaningful, fulfilled lives that count, here's how you should live. And the Israelites are like, hey, I don't have to listen to that. I've got my own plan. And I know what this is like. So I was a Boy Scout growing up. And does anybody know what the Boy Scout motto is? What's the Boy Scout motto? Be prepared. All right, good. Okay. The Boy Scout motto is be prepared. And so there was one time, like I was 13 or 14 years old, okay? And our scoutmaster, who was an officer in the Navy at the time, right, was being transferred. And so he decided to take about a dozen of us, the leadership team of our troop, on a camp out, okay? And the idea was, hey, guys, we're going to get out there and we're going to build our own shelters. Okay, there's none of this tent stuff, okay? You're going to get out there, and you've got to build cover, and then, we're going to have a great day, and we're going to have a great night, and it's going to work out well, okay? And so we got out there, and 11 of the boys, they started the work on building like lean-tos, you know, which is cover for themselves. So they went searching for wood and sticks, and they used tarps. And me, I'm like, hey, it is a beautiful day outside, okay? The sun is out. It's 75 degrees. Like, I'm going to sleep out under the stars, okay? I do not need to build a lean-to. And my Boy Scout leader comes alongside of me and he says, hey, John, it's looking like great right now, but who knows what's going to happen, right? You should focus on building a lean-to. That would serve you well. And me, in all of my wisdom, like, I don't need that wisdom. I got this, right? Like, I've been a Boy Scout 3 years. I'm sleeping out under the stars, okay? Well, you might know how that worked out for me, okay? Now, this is in the day before cell phones and before all kinds of things, right? And I had not read the weather report, okay? What I did not know was that there was a storm coming. And so about 1 a.m, it started to rain, okay? And I'm in my sleeping bag, okay, out under the stars, okay? And I start to get wet, and it's miserable. And after about half an hour, like, at first, I'm going to tough it out, okay? After about a half an hour, I'm like, this is not working for me, okay? So my younger brother was on the camp out with me. He had built a lean-to, right? And I'm like, so I get out of my sleeping bag, pick my sleeping bag up, walk over, and I try to get under his lean-to, right? And I can get halfway under, okay? So I'm still getting rained on. And I'm like, move over, Mike, to try and get underneath this thing. And it is not working, okay? And so now another hour has gone past. I'm soaked. And I'm like, to heck with this, okay? So I go and I check. We've got two adult leaders with us. I check their cars, okay? Like, I'm like getting into the car. And I crawled into one of the leaders of the car, right, and spent the rest of the night there. And the next morning, you might know how that went for me, right? Just in terms of getting ridiculed for thinking that I knew better. And yet, there are so many men in our society that think they know better, right? I have a better plan. And then when their plan starts going south, right? Some of them tend to lean into God. God, come help me. But there are others that lean away from God. And they go, I've got this. Or I'm going to try and make it on their own. Okay, that is the nation of Israel. Okay. They have gone astray. They are lost. And they're not even looking back to God for help. And here is the interesting thing about this, is that the nation of Israel, so they didn't even know they were lost. That's how far they had gotten. And we live in a culture where there are a lot of people that get lost. And they get lost because they get off the trail. They think at some point, I've got a better plan. I don't need to follow God's wisdom. I've got this. Another reason, right, people get off this path, if you look at the park rangers, is they'll say they experience adversity, right? Adversity that knocks them off track. Bad weather, injuries, darkness, right? That's the second leading cause that people get lost. And then the third leading reason they get lost is they get separated from their group. And so those are the three things, right, that if you want to keep from getting lost, you stay on the path, right? You be prepared for adversity, and you make sure you stay with your group. And so what's interesting about this is going through life here in Dallas today, there is another layer of complexity that factors into this. And that is we live in a culture that is pulling us away. And so the right analogy isn't, hey, it's like you're a Boy Scout out on a trek. The right analogy is like you're scuba diving. And I don't know how many of you have ever been scuba diving, but one of the things about scuba diving is there are underwater currents, okay? And if you are not aware of them, okay, you can get swept a long way away from the boat. So when you go scuba diving, a lot of the best places to scuba dive are significantly offshore, okay? And so you need to take a boat to get to the spot where you're going to scuba dive. And basically, you get out there, and there's a couple of golden rules in scuba diving. Number one, you stay with your swim buddy. You do not get off by yourself, because if something goes wrong, you've got somebody to help you, okay? And number two, you always have to know where the boat is, okay? So you get down in the water, you're with your dive buddy, and the two big things that can go wrong down when you're down underwater is one of the dive buddies sees something super interesting, and they swim off to go take a look at it, okay? Forgetting about their swim buddy. And so one of the great ways to get into trouble scuba diving is you get separated. The other thing is people lose sight of the boat. And so if you're underwater, you need to constantly be looking back to know where is the boat. And there are stories of people going scuba diving that don't do that. They don't look back at the boat. And there is an underwater current that they are not aware of that is carrying them further and further away from the boat. And it doesn't take a lot of research to find people that have drifted away from the boat, and then they've surfaced, and they can't see the boat. Okay. Now imagine that happening. And there's stories of, you know, sometimes there's miraculous recoveries. Like some other scuba diving boat comes along and finds these two people that are miles offshore, bobbing in the water. And sometimes they're never found. And it's all because they either got separated from their swim buddy or the current carried them away from the boat and they were not looking back, and all of a sudden they surface and the boat is nowhere to be seen. Okay? And that is exactly what has happened to the Israelites. Okay? They have gotten carried away in a current, the culture, the way that the culture said you should do life, that has caused them to drift away from God. And they're not even aware of it. And Hosea is saying to them, look for the boat, come back. And they are blissfully unaware. And I just want to close out this morning by saying, you know, it is easy to read the Old Testament prophet books and say to yourself, those guys are idiots. Right? God showed them to them in miraculous and powerful ways. And how hard is it when God is calling you? Okay. And yet, listen, guys, we are surrounded by a culture in which our culture is pulling us away from a relationship with God. It says significance is found in your money and your independence and your self-security. Okay, and spiritually, you know what? I don't need to be in a community group. I can do it all by myself. In fact, we have friends who say, I don't even need to go to church and I can grow spiritually. Okay, and those guys, they are off the path and it is not going to end well. And they don't look for the boat that is, you know, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And all of a sudden they're lost and they don't know where they are. And some of them recognize they're lost and try and get back. Some of them, they never do. And I just want to stop this morning and just give us a time out and say, how are we? Do we know where the boat is? Do we have that constantly in mind? Are we looking to the boat for direction? Are we staying with our swim buddies? Right? Because you are going to be influenced by the people you hang around with. They are going to have a profound impact on you. Okay? And this is so easy to see. Like, I've got a high school senior for a son. Okay? And it's so easy to see with him. And last night, we were talking about spring break. Okay? And he wants to go with a bunch of his buddies to Mexico for spring break. Okay? Now, if I took a vote of hands, okay, does that sound like that's a wise idea? Okay, a bunch of, you know, unchaperoned 18-year-old boys in Mexico. Okay, I look, if we took a vote this morning, there'd be a lot of guys who'd say, that is not wise. Okay, and yet Jay, my son, it's like, Dad, I got to do this. And I just want to stop and say, one of the keys to not getting lost when you're scuba diving is periodically look into the boat. And it's just like saying, hey, where am I? Am I following God? Am I on God's path? Or have I decided that I got a better plan? You know, am I with people because the people that you surround yourself with, they will impact you? Am I with guys that are running hard after Jesus? Or am I trying to do it all by myself? And the key to understanding the passage in Hosea was, here are a bunch of lost guys that don't know they're lost. They don't know. And they're going to find out too late. And as we walk together, we don't want to get to the end of our lives and say, you know what? I went my own way and I have regrets. And I am at a point where I've got 5 kids, 1 out of college, 2 in college, 2 in high school. And I'm beginning to realize, you know what? My time to have an impact is almost done. And there are some things that I look back and I regret. And I'm like, man, I wish I had done that differently. And I don't want to get to the end of my life and have a bunch of regrets. That's what Hosea is writing about. He's just saying, listen, you are lost. You got to make sure you stay with your eyes focused on the boat. You got to stay together. You come back to me. I love you. I will care for you. I will take care of you. I will grow you. Or you can go your own way. And let's see how that works out for you. Okay, that is the message of Hosea this morning. Okay, let me close this in prayer. Father, I thank you that there are just so many like-minded guys that are here this morning, Father, because we want to follow you. And we don't want to go our own way. Lord, we don't want to make up a path. We don't want to go and be more wise than you. We pray, Father, that you would help us to stay with our eyes fixed on the boat. Help us not to be like the Israelites who didn't listen, who didn't see they were in danger, who thought they were smart enough to be able to do it all by themselves. Father, help us to be dependent on you. Help us to lean into you. And help us to find men who are going in the same direction. We pray this in your name this morning. Amen.